Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
Boys and girls, citizens of this beautiful place we call Earth. This is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
21st century-like.
Ooh, way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, riding your bike, taking a sick loop-de-loop at the amusement park, or even
strengthening your mindset for English learning.
I'm joined here in the Global Studio by the one and only Axel Pose, who in the last episode showed us why he's called Axel Pose by shredding his guitar. How's it going, Thiago?
Hey, Ethan. I'm fine.
So you said it's a 21st century-like way to learn English. I like that because it's like, I think that's one of those things that points out that you've kind of mastered the language, is that you can invent new words in that way. So can you maybe explain a little bit, what was it that you did there?
We have the words 21st century and like, and I'm using all of that as an adjective, actually. I'm talking about what podcasts are. They are a medium that are popular nowadays in the 21st century. So they are 21st century-like. It's a 21st century-like way to improve your English. And usually you hyphenate the words when you do this, right? Like all of it, right?
Yeah, 21st hyphen century hyphen like.
Mm-hmm.
But this like, it's like a really creative way. There's like, or there's ish. That's another really great one. You could say like, I don't know. How was the movie? It was funny-ish, you know, it's like somewhat funny. Or
yeah.
You know, you could say that I'm wearing a bluish sweater. It's not maybe exactly completely blue, but it's bluish. It's sort of blue. You could say that, for example, Barcelona's a Parisian-like city. Parisian means like referring to Paris. So you could say like that to describe maybe someone's never been to Barcelona, but they've been to Paris. You could say it's Parisian-like because it has, you know, really great food and it's very metropolitan and like a melting pot of different cultures and whatnot. So it's really great. You can kind of take a word and add like, and it's like it's a way of creating a new sort of adjective. So really great way to level up your English, and all of a sudden it's like you have all these extra words that you can invent. Today, we are talking all about something that is very near and dear to our hearts, the Real Life Way. And the Real Life Way is our method that we help learners from all around the world to improve their English. We've talked about this on other podcasts, and it's actually something that we know it at our core, but we're kind of defining and coming up with a framework so that we can better explain it to other people, better use it to train new teachers or new team members, better use it to create content and courses and things like that. We've been working on this a lot the last few months, and we're kind of rolling out a new iteration of this with you guys today. So we're really excited about that.
By the way, Ethan, what's iteration? A new iteration of the Real Life Way. What's iteration?
Another way we could say this is a new version, right? So it's another version of the Real Life Way. An iteration, we might say, it's kind of like a, not only a version, but like an improvement on previous versions. We often say here, if you've been following us for a while at Real Life English, we often say, don't just learn it, live it. But the Real Life Way adds two extra things. So living it, that's the first part of it. Connect it. And the final part is activate it. And these are kind of, you know, circular things that you're doing all the time. You can be at different points of that, at different moments, and you're kind of like always cycling through it at a higher level. You'll get to know all about that today. And by the end, basically our goal for you is for you to already start putting these things into practice to level up your English. And also we're going to give you 6 tools. So these components, each of them has 2 elements, so that's 6 elements in total. We're going to give you a tool for each one of them that you can already start using as soon as you finish listening to this podcast, or even pausing it and during the podcast. So before we get into that, if you are new here at Real Life English, every single week We make new lessons like this, new video podcasts, helping you to take your English to the next level so that you can go from feeling like a lost, insecure English learner to being a confident and natural English speaker. So that said, let's move into the first one. So as we mentioned, live it. And this has two elements in it. The first one is making your English fun, natural, and convenient. And actually, Thiago and I recorded a podcast just about this, how to make your English fun, natural, and convenient. It's a super important place for people to get started because a lot of people are coming out of kind of like boring, dry, traditional methods for learning. So this can be something that can be a total game changer. But if you're listening to us, you might already know about that. If you are new here, you might want to check out episode 316 to learn more about how to make your English fun, natural, and convenient. But the tool that we are going to talk about for making it fun, natural, and convenient is reflection. Reflection is something, actually, like throughout the process, you can always be reflecting on how to improve, and it's a really important habit, right? But when it comes to making it fun, natural, and convenient, this is something like I believe Thiago and I have actually talked about that with our coaching students, with individual students. This is something that, you know, I used to do is at the beginning, in their first couple of sessions, really getting to know them and getting to know what are the things that you like, what do you do in your free time, what are you passionate about, what kind of like, you know, lights you up, and finding ways that you can actually connect your English to that. So find ways to take the things that you already love doing and start doing them in English. So Thiago actually, he had some really great questions that he asks his students when he's kind of like doing this with them. And I thought, Thiago, you could go ahead and share what those questions are. And, you know, you listener, or if you're watching this, I even would say like grab a piece of paper or, you know, get out a notepad on your phone or whatever. And after the questions, pause and actually like just take a couple minutes and think about your answers to these questions. So take it away, Thiago.
Yeah, Ethan, that's super important, right? Because I think most people, most learners, they view English as a subject, a school subject they need to study only, yeah? But yeah, as you study it, right? You study the language, but it's more than that. So what we propose here when we say living your English is exactly integrating English into your life. Yeah, it's a tool. It's something that is always there. It's part of your life. You just do it, right? Almost like, you know, brushing your teeth in the morning or taking a shower. We don't even think about it anymore, but we do it. Yeah, so the idea is for you to have English like that in your life. Yeah, you just consume content in English. You just do stuff in English in your day because that's what you do. Yeah. And the questions that we listed here to help you guys with this reflection are: what do I usually do in my free time? What are my hobbies? What topics am I interested in? For example, technology, business, psychology. What do I already do in my life that could easily be done in English? You know, just by changing the language. And how can I make English learning convenient for me? So these are some questions that we really encourage you guys to ponder, to reflect on, because the idea is to integrate English in your life and not just be having English be that thing that you study once or twice a week at your language school or with your private teacher.
I have to point out there too, you used a really nice word, ponder. This reminds me always this word of Winnie the Pooh, because I remember the cartoons when I was growing up, he would like sit under a tree and like when he was having some issue and he'd be like sitting there being like ponder, 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 like thinking. So it's exactly what we were saying of reflecting, but ponder is kind of a more advanced way to say that. And the second part of living it is every day. So to live your English, you have to make it fun, natural, convenient, and every day, doing it every day. And you shared a really nice kind of like quote, or this might even be considered like a proverb, right? Before we start recording, do you want to share that?
Yeah, about making it every day, I would say consistency is the key here, right? Consistency is key, meaning that it's much better for you to practice your English 5 or 10 minutes every day than maybe just doing it once a week for 3 hours. Yeah, so it's really about showing up every day, the consistency side of it, much better, much more effective in the long run. You know, I've been teaching for many years now. Yeah, I've been a teacher for 15 years now. And, you know, during all this time, I have met many types of students, many kinds of students. And in my experience, it's amazing because, you know, sometimes I would have a class of 10 people, you know, and maybe the one or two people there, that performed better in class usually were people who were already living their English outside of the class. You know, when I did some digging, some investigation, and talked to these students, I would discover that they had the habit already of watching movies and series every day in English. They loved movies and series, or they read comic books in English. You know, it was a habit already, or they did something in English already that was connected with their interests. Yeah, so I saw that firsthand. You know, students or learners who live their English like that, yeah, outside of the class, outside of that deliberate practice moment, they are the ones who actually tend to be more successful at learning the language.
A lot of people, this is actually the reason why we have this as the first component, is because a lot of people are coming out of maybe an experience where mostly you were studying in traditional schools and everything. And maybe you were just, you know, you'd go to class the 2 times a week because you thought, like, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to sign up for classes, go 2 times a week, and that's it. But it's much more important what you're doing between those classes, if you're showing up every single day and doing something, than that you're actually like going to class in many ways. The class will be really helpful, but only if you're already having those really good habits. We actually just did a podcast talking a lot about this, talking about motivation and why systems, why habits are much more powerful than relying on motivation. And we cited a lot, a book that we really love called Atomic Habits by James Clear, which you should totally check out if you haven't. So check that out if you want to learn more. We go a lot deeper, but just wanted to give you guys kind of like a tool here that you can already use. So it's a tool from Atomic Habits that is really powerful. It's called habit stacking. So if you stack things, you pile one on top of another. So what this is basically is he says, take some habit that you already have, that you already exist. So for most of us, we have a coffee in the morning, right? We have our morning, we make our morning coffee. Usually we do something while we're having our coffee. So you already have that habit established. Why not stack on top of that some sort of beneficial English learning habit? And this can be really small. The important thing is just starting small, building those habits, showing up every single day, even if it's just 2 minutes. He actually calls this a 2-minute rule because it's much more effective if you really lower the bar, if you make it really easy for yourself. And then once you have that habit established, you optimize. You know, you can make it, you can spend more time, you can make it more effective, but the important thing is just showing up every single day.
Ethan, what does to lower the bar mean?
That's really great. And it's something that a lot of people come into learning, right? And they have very high expectations. They want to already find the best teacher, the best method, the best YouTube channel, whatever. But they're not doing the things to actually like show up every single day. So until you're actually showing up every single day, you know, the same as if like you're wanting to get in shape and everything, you don't need to worry so much about finding like the perfect workout program. At the beginning, you need to like actually get yourself to the gym 3 times a week or 4 times a week or every day, you know, depending on what your goals are. And then once you're actually doing that, then you could, you know, find a really great trainer who can help you to optimize, to do the exercises better, or you can find like a really great program that helps you to, you know, have kind of like a method that you can follow. But until you're actually like showing up every day, all the optimization and stuff, you might just end up failing because you won't stick with it.
So it's like, it's about maybe simplifying the process, right? You lower the bar, you lower the expectations at first, right?
Exactly.
You don't have super crazy high expectations. You lower the bar, yeah, maybe 2 minutes per day, 5 minutes per day. And then as time passes, you can raise the bar. You can increase the complexity or the expectations, right?
Exactly. That's the opposite is like, let's raise the bar. Let's stoke the fire. I recommend you actually like try this right now already for yourself. So talked about like a morning coffee. One thing you could do is, you know, maybe studying the new words that you learned. Maybe the night before you watched a TV series and you took note of like a word or two. And, you know, you could actually use these 2 minutes, 5 minutes that you're having a morning coffee and just like review your list, or, you know, use spaced repetition to study those, which we'll talk more about. And a really great way you could do this is you're listening to this podcast, right? So we just talked about, for example, lower the bar, raise the bar. And if you are using the app, we give you vocabulary flashcards for every single podcast so you never forget these new words. So you could actually, for example, try this tomorrow while you're having your morning coffee, download the app now, and then while you're doing it, then study some of the words that you learned today. And you'll, if you start doing that every single day, you're gonna find instead of just like hearing these new expressions and then, you know, never using them again, you can actually make them an active part of your repertoire, your vocabulary. So when you get a speaking opportunity, you can actually use them. So before we move on to the next component, I just wanted to share one of my favorite quotes that came when I was reading Atomic Habits. So he says, everyone is consumed by the end goal, but one push-up is better than not exercising. 1 minute of guitar practice is better than none at all. 1 minute of reading is better than never picking up a book. It's better to do less than you hoped than to do nothing at all. So this basically just points to two is like, you know, maybe you had a plan to study grammar for 30 minutes, but you know, maybe you have kids, they're like screaming in the morning, you couldn't get them out the door and stuff, and you only have 5 minutes in the end. So do 5 minutes of grammar exercise just because you couldn't do the 30 minutes, lower the bar. That said, let's move on to the next component, which is connect it. So the first part, first element of connect it is why. So we always tell people here at Real Life English, like start with your why, you know, which means that you're really getting clear on your deep burning purpose for learning the language, which most people never actually think about why they're learning the language. They're just, you know, doing it because of external, usually external reasons. Their parents tell them they have to do it, or they're doing it because they think they need it to get a job, or they're doing it because, you know, they think that it's something that successful people do, but they've never really connected inside to like, how am I, is my life going to be different if I learn it? You know, what is something that can really, this can actually like be worthwhile, worth all the effort, because it really does take a lot of effort. So this is something that's really valuable to have, because when the going gets tough, as we'd say, when things get difficult, you know, you can go back to your why, you can reconnect to that, and it'll help to keep pushing you forward. It will remind you of why you started learning in the first place. And a way that I used to do this, something that you can try right now, again, like pausing and just taking a few moments to note down, is called the five whys exercise. I used to have all my students do this in the very first class. So it's really simple. All you have to do is you ask yourself, why am I learning English? And most people, the first time they ask themselves, there's five whys, because the first time you ask yourself, you're probably going to say something like, oh, I'm learning it because I need to get a better job. I'm learning it because my parents want me to. I'm learning it because my boss told me it'll help me get a promotion. I'm learning it because I want to travel. And all those things, they can be good. They can be good reasons to learn and everything, but it's not very unique. It's not like something that's actually internal in you that's really going to be something that's going to light you up and get you excited and give you purpose to put in all the hard work. So it's five whys. So first ask yourself, why am I learning English? And then when you give your answer, you say, and why is that important? And you think of an answer to that. So I want to learn English to travel. And why is that important? Because I want to be able to travel and like talk to the locals. And why is that important? Because I want to have an actual cultural experience and not just, you know, be going as a tourist. Why is that important? And so on. So you do this at least five times, and you'll find by you get to the fifth time, it's going to connect in something that's like really important to you, that's really uniquely important to you. And what I actually would have my students do is once they got this, is put it somewhere to, you know, write it down again and put it somewhere where they would see it every single day. So I had one student who made it the screensaver on his phone. So every time he'd open up his phone, you would see his why for learning English. I had other students who put it, you know, on the computer, on the fridge, or, you know, somewhere else where they would see it every day. So take a moment to do that. It probably won't take you very long. And it can be something that can really reinvigorate your English learning.
There is a famous saying or proverb, right, Ethan, that goes something like, if you don't know where you're going, any place will do. Something like that, right?
Yeah. I've heard another one. It's like, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there.
There you go. Yeah. So like, if you don't define your purpose or why for learning English, yeah, I mean, whatever result you get, you have to accept it, right? Because, you know, there isn't a clear defined goal, yeah?
And I actually found a quote that I really like connected to this. It's from the Buddha, who is probably one of the wisest people of all time. So he said, your work is to discover your work, and then with all of your heart, to give yourself to it. So it might be a little bit confusing. Your work is to discover your work. So it's in another sense saying, you know, it's to discover what were you put here to do? What is your purpose? And like ultimately too, you might have one why now, and then maybe next year or in 2 years and 5 years, if you were to do this exercise again, it might've changed. You know, maybe you already got to your first why, or maybe you're having, what happens to a lot of people is once they start learning English, they connect with people from other countries, they have new experiences and everything. And it kind of like opens their eyes to a new reality, to a new world, to a new worldview. And so like, an even deeper part of this, of discovering your why, is like really an ability, it gives you the ability to connect to the world, you know, so that you can play a role as like a global citizen and make the world a better place to be. So I really like this quote from the Buddha because I feel like it kind of captures that. It's like, you know, discovering what were you put here to do? How is English like playing a part in that? And, you know, give all your heart to it. Like really pour yourself into that. Give all of your energy to it because, you know, it's going to be a life well lived in that case. We talked about why, which is kind of like, you know, your internal, how you're connecting to your English, for example. But on the other side of this is of connecting it is identity, is how does your English connect to you? So you had like a really great quote for this, didn't you, Thiago?
Yeah. There's a quote here from Carl Jung, right? He says, "I am not what happened to me. I am what I choose to become." I really love that because I've had many students coming to me for classes and, some of them, they carry with them some traumas from the past when it comes to learning English. And they say things like, "Oh, I wish I had started learning English earlier. I wish I hadn't taken so long. Or I wish my parents had enrolled me in an English course or for English classes back when I was younger, you know." But it's no use dwelling, right, on these thoughts. Yeah, I mean, what happened to you, that's the past. Now, what matters is what you choose to do with your life now and in the future. So this quote here, "I am not what happened to me. I am what I choose to become," I think is really powerful because you have the power, you have the autonomy to define what kind of person you want to be in the future. And then, like the Buddha's quote, right? Give yourself to it. Yeah, give yourself all your energy, all your creativity, all your talent to accomplish or to realize that vision. And still talking about identity, I think, you know, if you can connect that with the type of person you want to become, I think that's more powerful than just having a goal. We were talking about this in the prep for this episode, right, Ethan? I was reflecting on my learning. You know, I started learning English when I was 15 years old, like it's been 20 years already. And I don't remember saying to myself, "I want to learn English," or "I want to improve my English." I don't ever remember using those words when talking to myself in my mind. But what I remember saying a lot to myself was, "I want to be a bilingual person," or "I want to become bilingual." The idea of being bilingual using two languages was very appealing to me. And that's what I said to myself a lot. I want to become a bilingual person who expresses themselves well, in my case, in Portuguese, my native tongue, and also in English, my second language of choice. But I think that the words we use when talking to ourselves, our inner voice, yeah, the words are important. They matter because, you see, if you use words like being or becoming, that is deeply connected to yourself, to your identity, or how you view yourself in the future. Instead of, "I want to learn English," which is a goal, it's something you are going for, I want to be an English speaker. I want to become a fluent English speaker, a confident English speaker. I think that rings more to the core, I think, you know, it's more powerful, yeah, to look at it like that. So, one recommendation is reflect on the kinds of words you have been using, yeah, with yourself when talking about your goals with English, yeah? Does it have any connection with the type of person you want to become? Yeah, so it's important to think about these things as well, yeah?
Yeah, it's like you were saying before, shifting from if you're having that self-talk, how you talk to yourself is really important. So if you have that self-talk of like, "Oh, you know, I wish that my parents had, you know, enrolled me in a course when I was younger. I wish I had started earlier. I wish I had more money so I could get whatever teacher or sign up for whatever course." And instead, like, act where you are, you know, start from where you are and start thinking about like the future. Like, who do you want to become? Why is all the effort worth it? And a really great exercise for this as well, I like what Thiago was saying about actually kind of becoming more aware of how you're talking to yourself, is starting with the end in mind. So what this means is envisioning your future self once you've gotten clear on like, "I want to be a bilingual person." So holding that version of yourself in your mind and then thinking about the details, you know, like actually kind of trying to visualize, okay, so I'm going to be this bilingual person. What will my life be like? What will I be doing? Who will I spend my time with? Where will I be working? Where will I be living? All of these kind of things, and getting like really clear in your head that what will your life be like once you've achieved that goal? And then work backwards from that. Like something we talk about a lot is fake it until you become it. So you can already start acting like that future self that you wish to be. So what would that, you start making decisions based on that. So, you know, for example, maybe instead of watching a TV series in English with subtitles in your native language, you start watching them with subtitles in English, even though it's more difficult. Or instead of, I don't know, lazing about Saturday morning, maybe you spend just 10 minutes getting your dusty grammar book off the shelf and like doing some exercises. And you know, maybe instead of avoiding having a conversation with someone in English, Thiago has talked about this a lot, that he used to really push himself every time in his native city of São Paulo, like actually when he overheard someone speaking another language, to go up to them and introduce himself and speak English. So, you know, instead of maybe shying away from those opportunities, putting yourself out there and saying like, oh, you know, this is a chance to speak English. You want to become that future self who can speak English naturally and confidently. You have to start doing it now, even if it's difficult, even if you're shy, even if, you know, you fail the first couple of times, but you have to have those experiences to become that future self that you want to become. So we are going to share the last component with you, which is activate it. But first we want to take a quick break just to thank some of our listeners. So Thiago, I'll let you do the honor of sharing our first shout out.
All right. The first shout out goes to Dulaye, I believe. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. The testimonial goes like this. This app is amazing for learning English. If you use it the right way, you don't need anything else. You can improve your English on this app because everything you need is available on it. For example, listening, speaking, reading along with the transcripts, and much more. Thank you guys for creating this wonderful platform. You are the best. Thank you very much.
Oh yeah, Dulaye. So, and sorry also if I'm butchering your name, but if you want us to shout you out, one way you can do that is by downloading the app. We've already talked about it a few times. It's free to download. And when you do, if you enjoy the experience, then just leave us a 5-star review in the Apple app or Google Play Store. Let other learners know what your experience was like, just like Dulaye did. And that way we can find you and also shout you out. And if you're listening to this, you can go, if you, you know, would like to actually like see us and watch the video, then that's also an option for you. So let's move into the final component as promised, which is activate it. So activating it, we have two more elements here. The first one being always learning, which we might change the name of this in the future. We're still kind of figuring out exactly what to call it, but it's something that Thiago and I, we both have talked about a lot on past podcasts because it's something that even once you get to very advanced levels, it's such an important thing to keep always present. And that's being curious, you know, it's always kind of taking advantage of things that you're learning with, be that watching a TV series, watching a movie, listening to this podcast, and looking for those bits and pieces of things that are interesting to you, that stick out to you. You know, maybe it's a bit of pronunciation, maybe it's a new word, an expression, maybe it's a grammatical structure that you're studying. And, you know, maybe you pause, you go back, you take some notes or something like that. So one of the really great ways to take advantage of this, it's really simple. And actually we did a video all about this because it's about like activating your English, called The Secret to Go From Intermediate to Advanced, which you can find on our Real Life English YouTube channel. And we'll also link it in the description, in the show notes. The simple exercise here is just whatever you're doing, you know, if you're listening to a podcast, if it's convenient for you, if you're a place where you can write down, or if you're watching a TV series, grab a notepad or a notepad app on your phone. And when you see a new word or a new expression that you haven't seen before, note it down. It's like really simple. You just have to have your phone open there and, you know, just take a moment to take note of it. You don't have to do anything else. You can just sit there, enjoy watching the series, but making sure to take note of any new word that you find. And then the next step, which actually could even go into the next element of activating it, is adding it to a spaced repetition system. So a spaced repetition system is a technology that works with how your brain, how your memory are formed, to make sure that you never forget a piece of information. So there's some really great apps that we recommend all the time, like Anki, memorize. Of course, if you're using the app, we also give you vocabulary and we have our own spaced repetition system so that the new words and expressions that you're learning in the episode of today's podcast, you'll never forget them. So that's like really amazing, is if you can actually remember them when it comes time to speak. And if you do these two things, you know, when you're watching a TV series or listening to a podcast, you actually like take note of the new words and then you add them to a spaced repetition system like this, you can ensure that you're actually expanding your active vocabulary. And there was a quote that actually I just happened upon this morning, so I thought it would be great to share here. Big part of this, of, you know, always learning is being really humble in your learning. This is actually something that Thiago and I were talking about in a recent episode, is that a lot of times once people get to like an upper intermediate or advanced level, they'll kind of, you know, they'll become a little bit arrogant or fool themselves. Their ego will kind of get the better of them. And they start thinking like, you know, I'm already to this level. I don't need to ask about, you know, the definition of new words. I don't need to practice mimicry. I don't need to improve my accent or improve my pronunciation or whatever the case is. It's kind of like, oh, I've made it, you know, I'm good. But it's important to keep in mind to keep that principle of staying humble, because there's always someone who's better than you. There's always someone who knows more than you. There's always someone who can teach you something. There are always new things that you can learn. So the quote that was talking about this, it's from, we looked up the pronunciation before, but I'm probably still going to butcher this. So if there's any Greek listeners in our audience, you can correct me maybe. But this is from Epictetus, something like that. Greek philosopher. And he says, it is impossible to learn that which one thinks one already knows. So it is impossible to learn that which one thinks one already knows, which basically means that if you're so convinced that you already know everything, then, you know, you're kind of like closing your mind off to any new possibilities of learning new things. There's also like a lot, there's kind of like the sayings around, you know, once the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And, you know, if your mind is closed off, then no one can really teach you. No one can help you. So it's important to keep that humility, keep an open mind, stay curious. And I think if you do that, then you're going to see you're like able to learn so much more. And going from there, I think that it'd be perfect actually, because Thiago was talking about a quote that has all to do about deliberate practice, which is the next element of activating it.
Yeah, sure. I just want to make a comment about what you were saying before, yeah, about the quote. Yeah, it's about lifelong learning as well, yeah? Like, you are learning for life. You never stop learning. And we can also bring up here the growth mindset versus the fixed mindset, right? So if you have a growth mindset, you believe that there's always something new to learn. You are always learning and you are open. As a person, as an individual, you are open to new information. You are open to a new way of looking at something that maybe you have been doing for years already. This is growth mindset. Now, fixed mindset is that person that believes what Ethan was describing right now, right, Ethan? Like, oh, I've learned all I could. I've taken my English, you know, as far as I could. Now I'm done. Yeah, this is not much of a growth mindset. I mean, I've been doing this for years, guys. I've been learning English for 20 years. And I still feel like there's stuff that I have to learn and improve. So, you know, it never ends, right? It never stops.
In our mother tongues, even, we never know all of the words. We never, you know how to say Greek philosophers' names.
No, not at all. A quote that I got for today's episode related to this is from Simon Sinek and from his book, Start With Why. And he says, passion alone can't cut it. For passion to survive, it needs structure. A why without how has little probability of success. I really love this because, you know, so far, you know, we have been talking about living your English, right, every day, connecting it to a deeper intrinsic motivator, yeah, in our case, developing your why. Why am I learning English? That's great. If you do these two things already, that's going to take you really far, yeah? But as the quote here says, you also need some sort of structure for your studies. It's just like going to the gym. Maybe you have already been consuming a lot of content about workouts and diets or healthy eating, right? You are living that world by consuming content about it. And you have a deeper reason why you want to be a healthier person. That's cool. But just going to the gym and not knowing what you're going to do there, that's not the best strategy. You need a how. You need a structure. In the case of the gym, maybe you need to know what muscle groups you're going to be working on that day for how long, how many sessions you're going to do. So you can apply the same principle to your English learning. Yes, live your English every day, consume lots of content, develop that why, that identity, yeah, that future self you want to, you are striving for. But also, you need that moment in your week, maybe once or twice a week, that is more deliberate, that is more structured. Maybe something like, okay, today I'm going to sit down for 20 minutes and work on my pronunciation deliberately. I'm going to listen when I listen to a podcast or watch a movie and repeat what I hear. Tomorrow or another day, you know, I'm going to sit down and do some grammar work here because, you know, I really struggle with this structure. So adding structure to your learning is also really important. And it goes with this third component, yeah, which is activation, yeah?
So that deliberate practice, just like Thiago was saying, is super important. I think, like you were saying, it can be really good to have like sessions, like a deliberate practice session that you have every day or a couple days a week. But even just like, you know, again, like coming back to the fun, natural, convenient every day, you know, find ways that you can kind of add like drops also of deliberate practice. You know, maybe if you're watching, I think Thiago talks a lot about like Two and a Half Men, that there are like a lot of different moments from that he would mimic and he still like remembers today, right? Because these things will stick with you. So you're watching TV series. This is something I find really helpful, even though like I'm at an advanced level in different languages, just to, you know, I'll hear something. I really like the way the person said it, just like pause it and like repeat how that person was saying it a couple of times, like go back, maybe listen again. And it's like, can just do wonders, even just those kind of like bits and pieces of activation of mimicking can do wonders for, you know, improving. I think if you have those kind of like little micro habits throughout the day too, those things really add up, right? So if you have like your sessions and you also have like these kind of bits and pieces that you can fill throughout your days, that's going to, even if you're already at an advanced level, it helps you to get even higher, right? To raise the bar.
And, you know, it's nice to point out here, Ethan, that, you know, these three components we are presenting today, live your English, live it, connected, activated, they go together. Like we described at the beginning of the episode, it's like a circle, yeah? And you are always doing them. One does not exclude the other. Yeah, and I think that the reason why many people fail at learning English with traditional methods or schools or even classes is because, think about it, right? If you have private classes with your teacher once a week or twice a week, this is more in the lines of activating it than the other components. Yeah, I view private classes that I have with my students as deliberate practice moments that we have. It's that 1 hour that we have together to deliberately work on a specific point of the language. That's cool. We need that. Perfect. But many people, they stop there. That's the issue. You know, they stop there. They don't live their English throughout the rest of the week, or they don't have that deeper burning why they are learning the language. They think it's just because of the job or the boss is annoying them about that, right? But if you bring the other two components together, then you're going to be successful. It's living your English, connecting it to a deeper, you know, a purpose, and having those deliberate practice moments. You can do that with a teacher, the activation, the deliberate practice moment. It helps, right? But you don't have to. You can do it alone. I did it alone. Most of my deliberate practice was done alone. I never had a teacher per se, right? So, you know, going back to that, right? One component does not exclude the other. You need the three of them. Yeah, so maybe listening to this podcast today, guys, reflect. You know, reflect. I mean, okay, which one of these components do I need to develop more? Or have I not been developing? Yeah? Because maybe you are struggling with your English learning because one of these is not really in place for you.
If you're listening to this podcast, if you're watching us, it's because you must have goals, right, to improve your English. So, you know, don't just listen to this passively, actually take action. You can activate it today by using one of the tools that we talked about. Choose any of them or try all of them, depending on how much time you have. But we'd really challenge you, like, at least choose one. Try to make like one small change today that's going to improve your English in some way, even if it's just 2 minutes. And that said, it's great sharing all of these different ideas with you. We would love to hear what you thought about it, what you think about some of these new ideas with the Real Life Way. And we look forward to bringing you more dynamite content next week. 1, 2, 3. Aww, yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.